Hebrews chapter 9, these words, "For the word of God is living and active." You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it is interesting to note that all of the different types of people in the parable told by Jesus in our gospel reading did in fact hear the word of God. I mean, it's not as if they didn't hear it. They did. And then, of course, having heard that word, the response of each to that word was different, wasn't it? But the word itself, they did hear. And having heard it, they did consider it. But the devil took it away from some, and others abandoned it when they were tested. Others were challenged by the everyday hassles of life. And yet all heard it. They could not but hear it, and hear it for their consideration. For the word of God is living, it's active, going out into the world, primarily through the Bible itself, in its entirety having been translated into 700 different languages, and the New Testament into 1,500 different languages. Of the over 7,000 languages known to exist in the world today. So that doesn't seem like much, really. But you know, if we could speak just five languages, that is English, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Chinese, and Hindi, we could speak with someone almost anywhere in the world. The Word of God being disseminated in those languages, it is living and active in those languages, in Bibles, in the mouths of Christians, of preachers, in other books and magazines, and so on. And being living and active, the Word of God doesn't just go into one ear and out the other, but it troubles, it challenges, it cajoles, it nudges, it pushes, it pulls. And that is why this passage about the living and active Word of God is couched in the discussion of the Sabbath rest for the people of God. That is the peace that is ours through faith in Jesus Christ. Knowing that we are justified before our Father in heaven, our sins are forgiven, our adoption as children of God is sure. Let's be clear here. If we are not at peace with God, if we are not living daily in that peace, our minds at rest, our hearts even joyful at living in this life, if we are not at peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we're not at peace. And we're not at peace because the Word of God pierces to the very heart of our being, even to the division of our soul and our spirit, to the extent that even the shortest sentences from the Word of God posted on a billboard or read on a bumper sticker, like "love your enemies" or "you shall not murder" or "I am coming soon" or "repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," yes, even those few short words can hit us like a Mack truck. So the man who knocked on the door here at the church a few years ago after we had installed our electronic sign out there on Osborne, and I had posted "the kingdom of heaven is near" as one of the Bible verses, and the man knocked on the church door, and he kept knocking. I was like, "What's going on here?" So I went to the door, and he said, "What does your sign mean?" Wasn't even thinking about the sign on Osborne there. "What does your sign mean?" And I was like, "Well, what sign?" "The kingdom of heaven is near." "What does that mean?" He was visibly shaken. Visibly shaken because of the effect of the living and active Word of God upon his heart. Far-fetched? Of course not. Even without the power of the Holy Spirit behind it, the Word of man alone does all sorts of things. Here we can think of rumors that run around a school or a place of business, words that destroy the reputation of a person in either place. Here we can think of words that move people to riot, to kill and destroy. Here we can think of words that are used to hurt us on the inside in our hearts and souls, and these are only the words of man, of you and me. If you've ever been the victim of a rumor, if you've ever been attacked verbally, if you've ever suffered because of something someone said, to use just words, well, then you know the power of words. Few wrong words spoken at the wrong time in a person's life can completely alter that person's view of themselves and of life and their future in it. Now, the thing about rumor, about the words of man spoken, is that they often fly about with no one even knowing who started a given rumor, but the words which comprise it are repeated thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of times. Rumors, therefore, are like computer viruses in that way, and they spread throughout the world from one computer to another. Well, a rumor spreads from one heart to another, one soul to another, one mind to another, and really messes up our operating systems. That is, how we think about ourselves, and how we think about our neighbors, and how we think about the world at large. So what does the living Word of God do? The living and active Word of God do? But confront those rumors. Confront man, challenging us in our thinking about ourselves and our neighbors and the world at large. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God gains a hearing in our hearts and souls and minds, and it can be troubling. That is the Word of God. Here we can think about Herod the Great. When he heard from the wise men who'd come from the east that Jesus had been born, that is the one born king of the Jews. And upon hearing that, Scripture tells us, Herod was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. For if a king had been born, the true king of Israel, the true king from the line of David, then, well, Herod the Great, he wasn't that king. And everyone in Jerusalem who lived off their relationship with Herod the Great was in trouble. Rightly so. Rightly so was all of Jerusalem troubled. And rightly so is the world troubled. And rightly so are we ourselves troubled when confronted with the Word of God proclaiming to us that we are not in charge of our lives. That we are not the king or queen of our lives. That we are not the boss of us now. But there is one who's greater. One to whom we are responsible, one before whom we will answer, and it is the King of the world, Jesus Christ, who will, in fact, appear on the last day of the history of the world to judge the living and the dead. No one will escape that day. No one will not stand before that judgment. No one will be exempt from an examination, not only of their lives, but what has gone on throughout their lives within their hearts and souls and minds. Now, is it the desire of God that people be damned to hell, that is, condemned to an eternity away from His presence? No, of course not. God wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And that is why God causes His Word to be living and active, able to pierce to the very heart of our being, which is, we must admit, very uncomfortable at times. Guilt's a horrible experience, and shame, and remorse, and regret. How many people's lives have come to an end even while they're still living because of something they have done, and they just can't get over it. They just can't forget it, and they just can't forget it because they can't believe that they did it, but having done it, they simply can't forgive themselves. But God, our loving Heavenly Father, forgives. God forgives us. God even forgives us when our hearts refuse to forgive us. Because God is, as we read in 1 John, so much greater than our hearts. And so He declares to us, I forgive your sins. And if God forgives your sins are forgiven. And all that we do by thinking that they're not is call God a liar. But God isn't a liar. So when God declares that we're forgiven through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, we're forgiven. And being forgiven, we have peace with God. And having peace with God, what does that mean? We need not deal with the shame and guilt and remorse and regret. We don't need to constantly be wondering about ourselves, about our neighbors, about the world. We do not need to react to the word of man, the rumors that fly throughout the world so quickly. But we can find rest for our souls in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, through faith in Christ, we can be rescued from the utter and unending talking of this world. And that can occur. It does occur because the Word of God is more powerful than the Word of man. The difference? The difference between the two? You know, I've done a lot of cleaning up in my shop out behind our house this winter. I've gotten rid of a lot of things. I've passed others on. I've sent some stuff to the auction house, and I've tried to organize. We all know how it is when we are organizing. When we organize, we have to find a place for everything and everything a place. But I keep running into one thing in my shop that refuses to be organized there. And it refuses to be organized because it has nothing to do with the shop. It is, in fact, a packet of seeds. A packet of seeds for purple columbine flowers. The state flower, Colorado. Still happen to have this packet of seeds left over from my gardening phase when I had all the flowers there in front of the house. Why don't I just toss those seeds? Why don't I just throw them away? Well, because they're seeds. And the weird thing about seeds is that by themselves alone, they're nothing. Nothing but food for mice. But if those seeds would be tossed in the ground or planted in some other way, they're going to be something. And every time I run into that little packet of seeds and I move it from one place in the shop to another, I do so because those seeds are living and active, just like the Word of God is living and active. If those seeds are sown like the Word of God itself, if they are thrown upon the ground like the Word of God enters our bodies and souls through our eyes and ears, what can happen? But something wonderful will grow. In the case of that packet of seeds, purple columbines, like what you see when you hike way up in the Rockies, close to the tree line at 10,000 feet. Now, do we look at the Word of God in that same way? Do we consider our Bibles with the same type of thought? That if we actually read the Word of God or heard the Word of God, that Word would take hold within our hearts and there begin to sprout and grow, creating faith there. Faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because truly, that's where the Word of God belongs. The Word of God belongs in our hearts. For it's there it can sprout and grow, creating faith, engendering love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and goodness and self-control. That's the fruit of the Word of God being sown in our hearts. But if it never gets there, via our eyes and ears, our Bibles are no different than that packet of seed I keep moving around my shop. The next time you pick up your Bible at home to move it from one place to another, I hope you think about that. The words on the pages of that book really need to be somewhere else in order to be effective. And that is, they need to be in your heart. And the only way they can enter your heart is through your eyes or your ears. Otherwise, they cannot be effective. I think it was my wife's roommate in college, Sarah, who one night as a joke, but not so much of a joke, placed a textbook under her pillow, hoping that somehow the knowledge of that textbook would seep up through the pillow into her head while she slept the night before a big test. We all secretly hoped it would work. College would have been much easier if it had. Let's not think that way about our Bibles. Let's acknowledge that the Word of God is indeed living and active, stealing the words of the world all around us, but only if that Word of God is found in our hearts. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and to life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.